You have your Bibles this morning, and I hope you do. Turn to Acts chapter 8. 2014, there was a Malaysian plane that suddenly vanished. Multiple countries worked together to try to discover, where is this plane? But they didn't even know what ocean to look for, because someone or something drove this plane off course. We are 5 years removed from that event, and we still don't know who drove that plane off course. I want you to know that there is something that's driving your life, something or someone. And this morning in Acts chapter 8, we learn about a man who was driven by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, we're going to see some of the characteristics of what does it mean to be led by the Spirit. So if you have your Bibles this morning, Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 25 through 40. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 25, it says this. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem, and they were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And when he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this, "And he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and a lamb before a shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate to his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does this prophet say? Of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Then as they were along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And he ordered that the chariot be stopped. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. And the eunuch no longer saw him, but he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and he was passing through and kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that Philip was filled with the Spirit, Lord, that he was led by you. Lord, this morning as we examine your word, I pray that we will be men and women who are filled with the Spirit. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will fill this place today, Lord, that it will fill my mouth as I speak, Lord. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting as we read this text, because you would be tempted to think that this story is about a preacher. But Philip was not a preacher. Philip was just a loving man that was first introduced in a few chapters earlier. We read a few chapters earlier about how there was a conflict in the church, and he was a part of the solution. When it comes to conflict, you're always either part of the problem or part of the solution. And here was a godly man, and it only tells us one thing about him in that earlier chapter. It says that he was filled with the Spirit. And so you say, so what does it look like? What does it mean to be full of the Spirit. You say, what does a Spirit-led, a Spirit-filled Christian do? What we see from this text is four characteristics of a Spirit-filled Christian. I want you to notice, number one, Spirit-filled Christians love all people. They love all people. Look what it says in verse 25. It says, so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Now, who they were preaching to is incredibly significant, because it says that they were preaching to many villages of the Samaritans. Now, if you remember, you'll remember that the Jews and the Samaritans mixed about as good as oil and water. All right, these people did not like each other. This was no small conflict. This was a historical conflict. Back in the day, you had 12 tribes who ended up being divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Well, when the northern kingdom were taken captive by Assyria, whenever they were released, they just stayed in the land. They just intermarried with the people. And so arguably, they became a group of people who were multi-ethnic, multi-racial, multi-religious. And so the Jews, they suddenly said, well, those aren't our people anymore. They're a different race. They're a different people group. They're a different religion. And so they started having division. So much so that they said, well, they can just worship at a different place. But you know, the gospel, it brings all people together, all races together, all cultures together. And so here was a godly man who was going and he was taking the gospel to a group of people who had major conflict with. That's what the gospel does. The gospel brings people together. Challenging people, the gospel brings them together. People of different backgrounds, it brings them together. People of different races, it brings them together. You do recognize that if you don't like worshiping with different cultures and different races, you're probably not going to like heaven very much. Because this is what it says when it describes heaven in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, all the tribes and all the peoples, languages, standing before the throne of the Lamb, clothed in white garments with palm branches in their hands. A Spirit-led person loves all people, all nations, all races. Notice he was Spirit-led. I want you to tell you a second thing about Spirit-led people. Spirit-filled Christians are led by the Spirit, are physically led by the Spirit. This is what it says in verse 26. It says, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then I want you to notice the little description that's thrown in at verse 26. This is a desert road. I really want you to think about what's going on. All right, it's like revival is broken out. Things are going really good in Jerusalem. They're taking the gospel to all the Samaritan villages. And then all of a sudden, an angel appears to Philip and says, hey, I want you to go down a road. And by the way, it's a desert road. I want you to think about all the excuses that he could have had for not going. All right? First, he could have said, look, it's not the right time. I mean, things were going really good there. Revival was breaking out. Things were going well. He could have said, look, it's really just not a good time right now, God. I don't know if you know this or not, but a lack of immediate obedience is disobedience. And here was a man who right away, he was willing to go. Not only could he have said that you got the wrong time, he could have said, well, you got the wrong man. He could have said, look, I'm not a preacher. You need a preacher for this job. I'm not even a preacher. I'm just a normal guy. He could have said, well, I don't have enough education. He could have said, well, I just don't understand the Bible good enough. He could have made up all these excuses for why he couldn't go right there at that exact time. He could have said this. He could have said, well, it's really not the right place. He could have said, look, a revival is breaking out in Jerusalem. I don't want to go. But I want you to notice what happened. Because he went at the exact right time when God told him to go. That's what he says in verse 27. So he got up and he went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch of the court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopian, who was in charge of all of her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. As he was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah, then the spirit of Philip said, go up and join this chariot. So because he was willing to leave everything behind, because he was willing to at that moment go, he met a very significant person. You know, so many times I'll talk to Christians and they will be afraid to obey God. They'll say, well, I'm afraid of what it will cost me, or I'm afraid of what it'll cost my family if I surrender to God's will. I think really what we need to be afraid of is what happens if you don't. What happens if you don't go? What will happen to your family if you don't go? The sweetest place to be is in the center of God's will. And here was a man who was in the center of God's will. He went exactly where he was supposed to go, when he was supposed to go. And he had a divine encounter. Here was a man who was seeking God. Says that he was an Ethiopian, so we know that he would not have been able to go into the temple. During that time period, and even today, the temple itself, only the Jews could enter into the temple. And so here was a man who traveled all the way to Jerusalem, seeking the Lord, but not even able to go into the temple. He would have had to have remained outside the temple and the Gentiles' court. We know he was an influential man, a wealthy man, because somehow it says that he was able to have a copy of God's word. And that is what he was doing. He was reading it out loud. But yeah, that's really a cultural thing. You know, in our culture, if you're on the bus or the subway and you're reading a book out loud, people are going to think you're a nut. Okay, I don't recommend you do it. In this culture, everyone did that. It was just something our culture reads internally. Their culture always read out loud. And so he was just reading, and he was just reading God's word. And then all of a sudden, God told Philip, you need to go. You need to go down this desert road, even though it didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Because he went down this road, he had a divine encounter. Now, God is at work all around you. And the Spirit will lead you if you are constantly praying for the Spirit to lead you. Last summer, Leslie and I went to the Southern Baptist Convention. Whenever we were there the day before, we had just received word that we would be able to be church planters. The very first thing they told us is, look, you need to try to make partners with churches and with pastors. So we get to the convention and we're just praying, Lord, show us your will. Lead us to the men and the women and the churches so that we can make partners. Well, we went to the International Mission Board dinner. We walked into a room and there were tables all over the sanctuary, hundreds of tables with people sitting down. So we just prayed, Lord, just show us where we need to sit. Show us what table specifically we need to sit at. So we were walking. We got about halfway to the front, and there was a table that had a few chairs left. So I asked, is it okay if we sit here? And they said, yeah, you can sit here. So I take off my coat. I pull out the chair. I'm about to sit down when all of a sudden someone from the very front who worked at the IMB came down, grabbed my hand and said, hey, there's 2 seats left at the very front. You need to come up here and sit at this table with me. So Leslie and I just kind of looked at each other, took my hand, dragged me all the way to the very front. 2 of us sat down, started talking to some of the other pastors that asked, you know, where are you from? What's your ministry? Told them, well, God has called us into church planting. And one of the pastors, whenever we were getting ready to leave, he made this statement. He said, I don't believe it's a coincidence that you sat where you sat today. He took our picture and he said, I want to pray about how our church can partner with you. And this last Sunday, I preached at that church. And right now, they're praying about how they can partner with us. It took the Spirit, it's like the Holy Spirit just grabbed our hand and pulled us to that chair, the table that we needed to sit in. And that's what God will do for each of us as we pray, Lord, show me your will. Every single day, pray, God, lead me to where I need to be. Direct my path. And if you do that, the Holy Spirit will grab you by the hand and take you exactly where you need to be. There are no coincidences in the kingdom of God. And here was a man who was led by the Spirit. I want you to see a second thing. Not only was he led by the Spirit, but Spirit-filled Christians look for opportunities to share the gospel. Spirit-filled Christians look for opportunities to share the gospel. Look at verse 30. It says, Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So here's Philip. He's close to the chariot. He hears this man reading God's word from Isaiah. Man, he actually had a copy of God's word, which during that time period, people didn't have copies of God's word. But this man was so wealthy, he actually could buy 1 book of the Bible. Tells you how blessed we are that we have all the books. But he had 1 book, and he was blessed. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. And this man, Philip, recognized that this was a divine encounter. It was not a coincidence that he happened to be walking down that road. It was a divine encounter where God had orchestrated all those events for that kind of moment. You know, God does that in your life. It's not a coincidence you came to church today. It won't be a coincidence where you eat this afternoon. It won't be a coincidence where you work. God has put you at the exact place He wants you. And if you are open to God's will, if you are looking for encounters, God will have divine encounters all around you. Several years ago, I mentioned time whenever I was driving from Chattanooga to Fort Worth, Texas. I was about halfway there, about 10 o'clock at night, going down the interstate. And all of a sudden, my engine just completely shut down. Going down the interstate, your engine shuts down. That's not a good thing, right? Put the car in neutral. I coasted all the way down the ramp, all the way into a hotel. But well, it's, you know, convenient if you're going to break down on a weekend at 10 at night. A hotel is a pretty good place to break down at. I went to the hotel, asked them for a phone book. I called every single mechanic in town. None of them answered. It's 10 at night on a Sunday night. No one was available in the town. I said, well, okay, I guess I'm going to be staying here tonight. At least I broke down at a hotel, right? So I go to the hotel. I get a room. And then right across the street, there was a gas station. I hadn't had supper. I'll go get some supper. So I walk across the street, get some nachos and cheese or whatever they have at the gas station. Go up to pay, and I asked the man who was working the cash register, I said, well, do you know of any mechanics who are available here in town? And about that time, I hear a voice of someone behind me. And he said, well, I'm a mechanic. I turn around and there's this guy. He said, yeah, I'm a mechanic. I have a shop 2 miles from here. I actually, you know, have a mechanic that works for me as well. Maybe we can work something out with your car tonight. I said, well, hey, if I'm game, if you're game. So he took his truck, pulled to the gas station and the hotel, loaded me up, drugged my Mustang to his shop. Well, they tinkered with it for a few minutes. And then he gave me the bad news. Your alternator has gone out. It's 10 at night. I'm in the middle of nowhere. He said, but you know what? I have three cars right now that are in my lot. And would you believe I looked over and one of them was a Mustang, the same year as mine. He said, you know, just about everything's gone out in that car except for the alternator. And I looked him in the eye and I said this. I said, you know, I don't believe it's a coincidence that I broke down right here at this moment today. And he said, yeah, there's no denying it can't be a coincidence. Divine encounters are happening all around you if you are willing to look for opportunities to share the gospel. Divine encounters will happen with your family. Divine encounters will happen with your coworkers. If you are led by the Spirit, you will actively be looking for opportunity after opportunity to spread the gospel. Spirit-led men, Spirit-led women, look actively for opportunities to spread the gospel. Don't you see, fourth, Spirit-filled Christians are ready to explain Scripture. Spirit-filled Christians are ready to explain Scripture. Notice the man happened to be reading from Isaiah chapter 53, which describes Jesus. Look at verses 32 through 33. It says, now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from this earth. It was actually a very familiar text, one that the Jews often argued about. They would say, who is this describing? And that's exactly what the eunuch asked in verse 34. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say? Of himself or of someone else? Here this man just happened to be reading a prophecy about Jesus. And then a man just happened to be down the road to be able to explain the passage to him. Verse 35. It says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from Scripture, he preached Jesus to him. I love that. Beginning with that text, this wasn't a preacher, this was just a layman. He preached Jesus to him. I can just picture him just walking through the book of Isaiah. I'm sure he read the passage that says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned his own way, and the Lord has laid all of the iniquity of us all. And just picture Philip just describing to this man that that passage that you read is none other than about Jesus Christ. I'm sure he told him about how all of our sins were placed upon Jesus. I'm sure he told him how Jesus was crucified and died, and 3 days later he rose. I'm sure he told him that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. And I'm sure he probably even gave an invitation. He said, after you've been saved, you can be baptized. Because in the middle of this encounter, this divine encounter, all of a sudden they pass a body of water. And the eunuch is just so excited about an opportunity to be saved. And apparently he was saved right there on the spot. He just interrupted. He pointed and he said, look, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he ordered the chariot be stopped. Philip got out right there and baptized him. Now, Christianity spreads from one person to another. And how Christianity spreads from one person to another is whenever people explain the Word of God. You explain the Word of God to a person, the person believes, are saved, and then baptized. And for the last 10 years, every year at the convention, we get the same news. Across America, salvation is in a decline. Baptism is in a decline. Christianity is in a decline. People wonder, well, what is causing this decline? So many different theories. What could possibly be causing this decline? I look at it as a very easy answer. The reason Christianity is at a decline is because we're simply not sharing Christianity to other people. This passage states that Philip opened his mouth and shared Jesus with that man. I fear that we church members, we open our mouth and share a lot of things with people, but not enough sharing of Jesus. Here was a man who loved the Lord. He loved the nations. And so he opened his mouth, and that's all he did, is he shared Jesus with him. And Christianity spread rapidly. Have you ever thought, what would happen if people treated football the same way that they treat Christianity? Never thought about that. So let's imagine if people treated football the way that they treat Christianity today. Imagine you have a father who's watching a game of football. All of a sudden, his young son comes in. And the son says, "Hey, Dad, what are you watching?" The father will just look kind of embarrassed. "Well, son, I'm watching a game called football." "Oh, well, Dad, tell me about the game." "Well, son, I really don't know a whole lot about it. Actually, I'm kind of a hypocrite, so I'm not the best person you even need to ask, because I never even played football. But you know what? I can get you an official rule book, and I'll let you read that rule book. And you know what? Maybe I can call the football coach from the high school, and maybe he can explain it to you." You say, you know what? I bet if that were to happen, we'd see a steep drop in football, wouldn't we? But that's not what happens, is it? No. What really happens is you have a man who's watching a football game. Son comes in, "Dad, what you watching?" The father says, "Son, I'm watching the greatest game on earth. The greatest sport ever, right? It's football." "Well, Daddy, tell me about it." "Well, son, here's how it is." And then just step by step, with joy and excitement, he explains the entire football game. What this means, what that means, who the teams are. He studied the game. Even if he's never played before, he's not worried about being a hypocrite. He loves the game. And because he loves the game, he shares it with his son. And then guess what? Come, the kid's birthday, he opens up a present, and what does he have? He has a football. The next thing he knows, he says, "Hey, Dad, why don't we play some football in the yard?" They're passing the football back and forth. Then what happens? Well, the son says, "Hey, Dad, whenever I get older, whenever I go to high school, I want to play football." Here's the truth. If we teach our children to keep our eye on the ball, but we don't teach our children to keep our eye on Christ, we've failed. And I fear that we care more about sports. And why is it we can talk about anything and everything, but we can't talk about the gospel? Here was a man, he was led by the Spirit. Because he was led by the Spirit, he preached Jesus to him. He told them all about Christianity. We need to be men and women who are bold enough to be led by the Spirit to tell our families, our friends, our co-workers about Jesus. Philip is only mentioned one more time in Scripture. at the very end of the book of Acts. It describes him. He's settled down. He's married. And he's got four daughters. You know what it says about those four daughters? They're telling everybody about Jesus too. Philip was a man who was led by the Spirit. And I'm sure whenever he died, I'm sure he was at a funeral and the preacher just stood over his casket. And he probably made this statement. There lies a man who was led by the Spirit. There's going to come a day for all of us when our coffin will close. And a preacher's going to stand up and he's going to say something about you. May we be men and women who the preacher can say, there lies a Spirit-led man. There lies a Spirit-led woman who loved to share Jesus with other people. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray today that you will help us to be bold enough, Lord, to be led by the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you will help us to love all people, Lord. Help us to love people who are different than us. Lord, help us to love people who act different, Lord, sound different, who are different. Lord, help us to be Spirit-led, Lord, and that we are constantly seeking you, Lord. Help us to be Spirit-led, Lord, and that we are constantly looking for opportunities to spread the gospel. Help us to be Spirit-led and that we understand Scripture enough to share with other people. Lord, may this church look more and more like you every single day. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is at work all around you. But many times we miss those divine encounters because we are not asking for God to guide us every day. I want to challenge you this morning to make a commitment to God that you're going to live your life led by the Spirit. Are you going to pray every day, God, guide me? Before every meal, Lord, what do you want me to eat? Where do you want me to go? May you be men and women who are led by the Spirit. I invite you to stand. I wonder today, as we talked about salvation, we learned about a man who did not know the Lord. He knew of the Lord, but he did not know the Lord. Maybe there's someone here today who you don't know the Lord. You need to be saved today. Maybe there's someone here today that you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. And you're thinking to yourself, look, there's water. What's preventing me from being baptized? I don't know what your need is today, but I know that we have a God that supplies all of your needs. So I invite you to come, and I'd love to pray with you.
About you, it's all about you, Jesus.
You may be seated. Now we have a Sunday school report. Kelly, if you could come at this time. Okay. Not Kelly, but that'll work. And while he's coming, I will mention the Southern Mississippi Baptist Convention is this week. On Tuesday, Richard Blackaby will be one of the guest speakers. Richard Blackaby was one of the writers of Experiencing God. He will be preaching at First Baptist Church of Jackson on Tuesday, and he will be preaching at 9:50 and at 2 o'clock. So if you're interested in coming and hearing Richard Blackaby, I encourage you to come.
I was going to say, guess who I am today? But I'm me. We had 93 members, 3 visitors for a total of 96. I want to thank Charlie for the message today because it really hit home with me. By being led by the Spirit, God's will, if we are obedient, every step will be in place. And that's what brought Lucy and I here to Vicksburg and then to Trinity Baptist Church.
Thank you. Give him a hand. All right. And Timmy Lampkin, if you would come and bring a report from the interim search committee.
We will be going into executive meeting tonight at church to vote on a interim pastor. You've seen it in the bulletins today, you had a printout of Dr. Jerry Rankin is who we're going to vote on tonight. We will pass out ballots at the beginning of tonight's service. Take the ballots up with the offertory plates and have an answer by the end of the service. So if you'd like to vote, we'd appreciate you being here tonight. And just to update on the pastor search committee, we are still receiving votes. Resumes, we haven't talked to anybody yet. We're still in the process of receiving resumes. Thank you.
All right, just a couple more announcements, and mainly just the one, but choir practice will be happening tonight. And I know you are all planning to be there, but I know how, you know, just things come up, especially those naps and dinner times. But we are having choir practice tonight, and I would love to have each and every one of you there. But I understand some of you might have reservations or things that keep you from being with us. But if you love singing, and even if you don't love singing, if you love praising God, there's a place for you in the choir. And we'd love to have you come join us to sing praises to God. Let's stand together now and sing our closing song, We Fall Down. Oh, excuse me. Third verse. Excuse me, we have the wrong hymn for the back Sunday. So let's sing the third verse of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing together.